Shall we pray? Precious Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful opportunity to come into your house of prayer, house of worship, a house where you eagerly wait to meet with us and to instruct us and to draw us closer to you. So just teach us how to truly serve you and one another the way you would have us to. In your name and according to your will. Amen. Okay, so last week we left off with the third wrong way of trying to serve, and that is the license to sin. So what does God have to say about this concept of license to sin? I believe somebody last week had mentioned the Romans 6 passage we all know. So, but what does that mean? Well, I mean, on the one hand, it seems like legalism is God's grace isn't quite good enough to get the job done. So we have to help him out a little bit. And license to sin is, well, God's grace is so sufficient that there's nothing we can possibly do that isn't covered by it. So, you know, in Paul's time, they were saying, the more we sin, the more God gets to show his grace. So we're being a good Christian doing it. I mean, that ain't right, no. Definitely not. God forbid. And it's really interesting. I'm definitely no Greek scholar or anything, but the best I can tell, that literally means God forbid the thought to even come into existence. That's pretty powerful. I'm sorry? Well, it's A, which is the Hebrew for know, and ginosko, which means to know or to create, to come into being. So it literally means, when it says God forbid, it literally means may God not even allow it to come into being. That's powerful. So let's take it a step farther. Back to our focal Galatians text, the Galatians 5, 1 through 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, the license of sin, if you will, but by love serve one another. So Paul further instructs us to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. What does it truly mean to be free in Christ? To be free in Christ. What does that really mean? Ah, John. Free from sin. Anybody else? Well, I'm just saying, what does freedom in Christ mean? I mean, it's one thing we have to be careful about, I think, that I've been cautioned about in the past, is using Christianese, when you're trying to talk to somebody who doesn't speak Christianese. It's like, we all know what it means, but what do they think it means, and how do we actually describe to them what it really means? Robert Hunt was just really kind of challenging me that in the past, and I'm like, I'm sort of talking Christianese. I mean, be a Berean, do this. It's like, they're going to go, what are you talking about, you know? So that was a challenge to me. So, for instance, does truly being free in Christ, does that mean that liberty means we no longer have to follow the rules or the law, if you will? And in fact, in Galatians 3:25, we read, but after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. And in verse 24 of that same chapter, we are informed that the law was our schoolmaster. So does this mean if we're no longer under the schoolmaster, if we're no longer under the law, that we no longer need to follow the law? Right. I mean, obviously, he noticed the difference. And with the Holy Spirit drawing, eventually, even though I never quote it right, but as, it says in 1 Peter 2:12 that whereas they may revile you as an evildoer, I think it says, they will on the day of visitation glorify God. Yes. If you could speak a little louder against the air conditioner, please. Right. Right. We actually are able to resist sin. We are no longer slaves to it. We have, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So much greater. So remember Christ's own words, if ye love me, keep my commandments. There are commandments to keep. But, and I think it's in one of the first, second, or third John or something, maybe not, but it says, and his commandments are not grievous, or his commandments are not burdensome. You know, and in Matthew 11:30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now that doesn't mean it's easy to live a Christian life. It's easy to do what's right. But compared to being a slave of sin, to having no, I mean, you may think you have free will, but all of those bad choices are just taking you one step closer to hell. That isn't freedom. That's slavery. And that is an incredible yoke of bondage that everybody's dragging around who isn't a Christian, whether it's trying to serve God and mammon, whether it's legalism, or whether it's license to sin. None of them are truly free. So yes, freedom in Christ is the freedom to live as Christ would have us to live. And then, you know, what could technically be easier in thought, trying to do it in deed, but there are only two commandments that you have to remember, and all of this other falls into line. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. For on this all hinge all the law and the prophets. That just boils down to two commandments. So, oh yes. Yeah, if we confess. But first we have to confess, so. But yeah, God's grace covers everything, but you know, we have died. That part of our nature has actually been crucified with Christ. And the new man that is raised up is not the old man. And I don't claim to understand, well, how is the old man still able there to tempt you? And like I say, I learn far more than I try to than I teach with this. But it's, you know, it's good to be in the Word, that's for sure. So on to a different concept. In Galatians 5:9, Paul warns us that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. But just because I'm up here certainly doesn't mean I understand this. But I do find these topics all fascinating. Now, we can get some ideas because, you know, in different passages, Luke 12:1, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. 1 Corinthians 5:8, the leaven of malice and wickedness. And in Galatians 5:9, strongly seems to indicate that the false teachings of the Judaizers who were promoting the legalism was leaven. There is a, I don't know where I heard it or something, but I've always kind of liked it. There was a Christian dad, and he had Christian teenagers, and they really wanted to see this movie. I mean, all of their friends were watching this movie. It was the greatest movie. It was up for all kinds of awards and everything. But, you know, it had some language. It had some stuff that it wasn't from a Christian producer, but they're just trying to convince their dad, you know, I really think this is something we should do. We need to know how the world works, and, you know, it'll help us to talk to our non-Christian friends, blah, 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 blah. And so he's like, well, let me think about it tonight, and we'll pray about it, and I'll give you my answer tomorrow. So they wake up in the morning, and it's like, okay, we finally got dad. We got him outnumbered. We've hit him with logic, you know, and he offers them chocolate chip cookies. He says, but I want you to know something about these chocolate chip cookies. You know, I couldn't sleep last night. I was really worried about this, so I thought I'd bake some cookies. And you know, I use the best chocolate, the best, I'm no baker, so I can't tell you, but the best everything. And I only put a little bit of the dog poop in it. But I made sure it was mixed real thoroughly all the way through. So everything's really evenly mixed. Who wants a cookie? Needless to say, they did not go to the movie. But it's so easy to let that leaven get into our lives, you know, that it's like, whether we're desensitized by it or, you know, we have to be in the world. But we, the tricky part is not having the world in us. So now, as I put in my notes, on to the good stuff. You know, we spent the last 2 weeks how not to serve God. Well, now, how to serve God, how to serve our fellow Christians, and how to serve the world. So the first thing is that true Christianity is self-sacrifice, not self-centered. It's self-sacrifice. I'm sure you all know the acronym JOY. And it's, you know, Jesus first, then others, then yourself. And again, you all know Romans 12:1, the living sacrifice, you know. But how about Romans 12:10, just a little farther down in that passage? Be kindly affectioned, and I'm really looking forward to getting into what kind really means next week. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. Now, in the Greek, honor literally means value. So it literally means we are to value other Christians more highly than we value ourselves. In other words, we put others before ourselves. So how do we serve one another? I mean, I'm going to give a few suggestions, obviously, but just what's the first thing that comes to mind? How do we serve one another? How do we bear one another's burdens? Yes, Ken. Pray, you betcha. Never underestimate the power of prayer, and I do that all the time. It's like, well, at least I can pray for you. At least I can pray for you, you know. It's like, you know, when I have some examples that may not get into all of it, but, you know, when they're asking for anything, you know, from whether it's the Thessalonians or the Philippians or something, you know, when Paul, the number one thing he asked for was prayer. You know, I need your prayer. You know, pray for us. So would any of you, you know, like to describe a time in your life when a fellow Christian brother or sister bore your burdens, you know, or, you know, they prayed for you to get you through a really difficult situation and you could just tell that difference or something like that? And, you know, going back to the example of prayer, you know, I know that at least fairly recently, if not before then, that, you know, Brother Tony and Marlene have been praying for Cheryl and our ministry in writing. And you just cannot imagine how, what are the right words? Anyway, freeing, enabling, that feels, affirming, you know, it's just like, wow. New power source, you know, got that battery fully charged, ready to go. You know, I don't feel like I'm running on fumes or something like that. And the same for Cheryl, of course. So thank you. Thank you very much. So, yeah, that's just incredible. I mean, when you pray, you're getting God involved. You're getting God's power in, and you're getting God's wisdom in, and it's not our power or our wisdom, or, you know, every time I try to rely on mine, it is a disaster. So it's like, okay, one more lesson in humility, got it. Unfortunately, I have this 5-minute attention span. Then it's like, okay, has it already been 5 minutes, God? But so, yeah, we show our service, we serve one another, we love one another by bearing one another's burdens and so fulfilling the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Well, to me, you can think of law and commandment as pretty much interchangeable, and the number one commandment that Christ gave us was love one another. For one, it's a witness to the world, for by this will all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. But it also, it's freeing God, His Holy Spirit, to truly work in us and make us what He wants us to be. You know, and then and so one day we will be perfect, holy, without blemish or spot. That's just amazing to think of that, because I'm like, man, you're going to need extra time with me, God, but I'm not going to limit God's power. So bearing one another's burdens, prayer, and, you know, it's easy to pray for somebody when it's like, que sera, sera, or something, you know, but, you know, like there's so many examples in the Bible where when you're to pray for someone, they weren't in God's will, you know. And you're not praying like James and John, shall we call down lightning from heaven to destroy them because, you know, they aren't doing something right, you know. I don't know. And of course, Jesus' answer was, you know not what manner of spirit ye are. So this is what Samuel said to the Israelites after they had rejected God and said, we want a king. And Samuel's like, no, 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 no. And of course, God eventually says, let them have the king, for they haven't rejected you. They rejected me. But Samuel goes, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. So he's praying for them continually, and he is teaching them the good and the right way. Now, whether they listened or not, you know, he was able to say later, I've wronged no man, or something like that. But what a statement to be able to say that. And nobody said, well, I'm an exception. Nobody in the entire nation of Israel said anything against Samuel. And then again, you know, Paul to the Christians at Colossae, like I kind of mentioned before, he prayed that they might walk worthy of the Lord, be fruitful in every good work, increase in the knowledge of God, be strengthened with all might, and that they would always give thanks unto the Father. And to the Thessalonians, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. Ultimately, we're here to be Christ's examples, Christ's little Christ, to show the world that they need him. And that also includes, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. So that's praying for protection as well. That's praying, you know, that's utilizing greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So, you know, to pray that the gospel goes forth to every person, and to pray that God's people, that's nothing to apologize for. God has made us all different. You know, like it talks about in Romans and 1 Corinthians, you know, the Holy Spirit in his wisdom gives each of us gifts as he chooses. And we're all made differently. And we never, I did it for so many years, and anyway, that's why I got so many lessons in pride, I think. But we're never to compare ourselves to someone else. Right, our only example is Christ. Yeah, have I mentioned, I can't remember if I have before, because remember it's been more than 5 minutes, but an example I heard once about the futility of trying to follow somebody else's example. There were these guys that were in this competition. They were trying to jump from one side of the body of water to the other side. And, you know, one guy, he goes out there and he just jumps from the end. He doesn't get a running start or anything. He just jumps off the end. He makes it, you know, 5 feet or something, you know. Another guy, he's not very coordinated. He's like me. He's like, but I'll get a running start. He gets a running start, trips right at the end, goes splat. You know, he makes it about 2 feet, goes head first. Third guy, he's athletic and smart. So he runs, gets a good jump. He's way out there, you know, 15, 16 feet or so. But the body of water is the Atlantic Ocean. And only Christ would be able to walk across it. Or anything else he wanted to, for that matter. But, you know, to me, that shows the futility of trying to compare anyone to Christ. So, I'm obviously not going to get through all this, and I didn't think I would. We'll continue this next week with more ways to serve God, and then basically just how good God is in, for lack of a better way of putting it, rewarding that service. And then maybe we'll actually get into be ye kind one to another. And I have to admit, just kind of starting to scratch the surface on that one, it's given me a really different way to think of what be ye kind one to another really means. Really different. I'm eager to share that next week, if we get to it. Shall we pray? Precious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your basic instructions before leaving earth, Lord, that you are the living word, and you reveal yourself to us in your word and in the incredible privilege of prayer, Lord. Now we just ask that you would continue to show us how to worship you, Lord. Just fill Pastor Cook with your spirit. Let him speak your words to our hearts and just equip us more truly worship you and to love you and to have a burden for this world, Lord, that we can say, as you do, that you're not willing that any should perish, Lord. No one deserves hell. Just show us how to truly be your representatives, your ambassadors, your little Christ, Lord, and draw us closer to you. In your name and according to your will, amen.